is not the same as being in the service is because there's a corporate anointing when we come together in His presence here. He meets us here. He meets us here, and I mean, I'm saved, and I didn't pray by myself and all that, but there's just a difference. God's called. That's what the church means. That's what church means. Church means all through the Bible. One individual is not the church, but you'll hear people say it. I am the church, you know, and that's just not scriptural. But I studied it really deep one time because, you know, I needed to know for myself so that I'm not conformed to nothing but what the Word says, you know. And so I studied it really deep. Church means called out of our house, called together, an assembly. That's what the church is. And then when it comes together like that, there's things happens in this place. There's things happen in our personal lives, where we work. I mean, it goes into our whole life, praise God. Why? Because it's the will of God. And I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about how that I used to have this old saying, I'm not going to bite that bullet. One reason that I'm so, you know, I'm careful about the Word of God because it's precious. The Word of God is the most precious thing other than Jesus in your life after you get born again. I mean, it is truth. The Word is light and life, and it's alive, and it's truth, and it sets us free, and it does set us apart. It does get us in hot water sometimes, you know. I used to have that saying, I'm not going to bite that bullet. And what I would mean by that is I would hear people say at the gas pumps and different things, you know. Just today, had an experience today. I went to pick up something at a hardware, and this lady, she starts saying, I don't know, things are bad, blah, blah, blah. She went to talk about it. She said, and Scotty, if things don't get better, she said, it's not going to be good like that, you know. So I just papered my stuff, and I walked out. I said, not me. I'm not biting that bullet. That's what I mean. That's not in line with God's Word. And I told God, I said, it's not going to get bad for me. I'm blessed of the Lord, see? And that's what you've got. That's what we've got to do. That will encourage, you're encouraging yourself in the Lord. Do you know when you believe God, you're honoring God? When you believe God, you believe that you're the healed of God, you're honoring God. You're honoring Him because you're saying you're true, God. Your Word is truth. Your Word is your bond, you know, and that's honoring God. And the Bible says over there in 1 Samuel 2:30, you know, it says, those that honor me, I will honor. Those that lightly esteem me. And leading up to this right here, God sent a man of God to Eli. And, you know, Eli's son was doing bad things in the church and taking offerings, and he wasn't doing nothing about it, you know, and all of that, you know, and came down and God sent a man to Eli and began to tell him, you know. And then he goes on down there and he says, he told him here, he says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me for them that honor me, I will honor, and those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. Do you know when you honor God's Word, you're honoring Him? I mean, when you're believing God, you know, you're honoring Him. You're not lightly esteeming the Lord. You're leaning on the Lord. You're depending on the Lord. I told the Lord, I was telling the Lord, talking to the Lord, you know, and I said, Lord, I said, I came from nothing. See, Saul, when he needed God, he was humble. I mean, I take it to myself where I was at 27 years old. I had a few little natural things, you know, but to where I'm at today, you know, I was reading over there in Deuteronomy over there where he told them, he said, when you get in your houses, when you get in those vineyards, in those things that I promised you, don't forget me. Don't forget where I brought you from. Don't forget that I made a way for you there. You know, and how many knows doing that honors God? It gives God honor. And I remember back when I couldn't understand anything of the Bible, and I thought the same thing you did. I'd read that Bible as a Christian, and I'd be like, I can't understand. I don't understand none of this. But it didn't stop me from reading. I knew that I needed to read the Bible, so we would read and read and go to church, and my pastor would preach on it, and I'd underline it in my Bible. Man, that's what that means, man. See, how could I hear without a preacher? You know, and that's what, see, the enemy does not want people going to church. I mean, more in the last 5 years than I've ever really seen an attack on people not to go to church. You know, I mean, I always heard that you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. See, y'all quiet, but I mean, you want the truth, right? Praise God. I can't be a good Christian without coming to church. I start to go back on God. I start getting in wrong spirit. Why? Because He's the one that does it for us and enlightens us and gives us revelation and strength. And I found out in my young walk with the Lord, 27 years old, that God told me one time, He said, if you want to go to church, He said, there is nothing that can stop you. I mean, He said nothing, Johnny. I go on vacation, usually I find me a church. Can't stop me on Children, Tennessee either. I might be in Mobile, find me a church if I want to. You know, what am I doing? That's honoring God. I know that's honoring God, and that's saying, God, you're important to me down here on vacation. God, you're important to me, you know, and rehearsing the Word, and don't go on a spiritual vacation. Because let me tell you something, praise God, if you're oppressed and down and out and you are born again, you are missing it somewhere. Something's wrong. You're missing it. You know, and I say that because I know what the Scripture says. See, I used to believe that you had to be up and down. You know, you're going to have good days and bad days. You're going to have days where they're just not good, and everybody does, and had that thinking. Well, God spoke to me back about when I was 28 years old, and He said, you never have to be dry spiritually. And so I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I need Scripture for that. Because I knew, man, I need some word on this. Why? Because I knew faith comes by hearing. Confidence in Him comes by hearing the Word of God. And so over a course of a little while, I don't know how long it was, I was reading about what Jesus said. He told that woman, he said, if you drink of this water, this natural water, you will thirst. He said, but if you drink this water that I have, he said, you will never thirst. You know, and the Lord spoke. I thought, glory to God, there it is. He said, you will draw out of the wells of salvation. You got to draw. You got to drink. There, I mean, you know, you're not waiting on the Lord to get strong spiritually. It's a choice that you make. You get the Word of God and you say, glory to God. God's Word said that for me to be strong in the Lord, I'm strong. And start saying it. God, I thank you, Lord. I'm strong in you according to your word. You commanded us to be strong in you and in the power of your might. And I put it on. I put on the armor. Do it by faith. You don't even have to know what the armor is. Just put it on. God's got it. It's God's armor. It's spiritual. Just take it and put it on. And say, I've got the armor of God on. And when you don't feel strong, the Bible says to let the weak say that they're strong. Don't say that you're weak. Don't say you don't feel good. Don't say this is going to be an awful day. See, you're having what you're saying. You're planning, see, you're believing what you're saying. See, that's why I'm really, really big on, you know, don't believe based on your experience, how you feel, what it looks like, or what everybody else is doing. You believe based on the Word of God, and God backs up His Word in that person. If it says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, I remember one time I felt like I was having a heart attack. I think I might have been in my mid-30s or so. Done meditated on 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, I'm the healed of God. I was on it 28, 29, 30 years old. I'm on the Word in my 30s, you know. Praise God. I didn't really have no reasons, you know, but I'm on it because I thought I'm going to put this in my life and I'm going to get a harvest of this. Praise God. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll reap. You sow to the Spirit of God in you and you'll reap from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so anyways, I reached to put my truck in gear. I'd started it up, and I mean a pain just hit me all across my chest. I'm telling you, like just crazy, you know. And I remember my dad, he died with a massive heart attack. You know, he'd had heart surgery and all that, you know. And I could see those experiences. My dad, I'd be driving him down the road, and he'd just fall over in my lap, just fall over at times. Did it several times. And I'd raise him back up, and he'd come back to me and say, boy, did you turn us over? I said, no, Dad, you fell over in my lap and caused me nearly run off the road. You know, you blacked out or something, Dad. So those thoughts, when all of that's flashing right quick. And so I reach up and I said, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I will live and not die. And I had this thought, if you pull that in reverse, you're going to die. And then I thought, to die's gain. See, you got to know the word. And then I pulled that in gear. And the minute I did and started backing up, all that left me, and I never had that experience again. And I realized, I pulled down that stop sign, and I thought, glory to God, I just stopped a heart attack or something. I don't know, God, I don't have to know. I know what I felt, and I seen what I experienced, praise God. Well, see, I experienced the Word. I mean, I refused to give in to how that felt, praise God, and going to die, and all of that, you know. And so I come back with the Word of God. But see, look, it's not just you spitting the Word out of your mouth. No. You got to believe it. You got to believe it, and then you got to speak it out of your mouth. I mean, I just can't believe. Yes, you can. You can believe the Word. Trust me. You can believe Him. You can believe God. Believing Him is a choice. If you don't believe it, you're choosing not to. You're saying, I just can't believe that. I can't believe that. You're choosing. But if you choose to say, I might not understand it in my mind, but God, but it says I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed is the fruit of my body. You believe that? You know what? It'll come to you. I am a 100% example of that coming. It took a few years. I don't know how many years it'll take. It don't make no difference. You're going towards your goals, and you ain't going to slack up, and you ain't going to back up, and it don't make no difference how long it takes you to get there. It don't matter when the breakthrough's going to come. You just know that it's going to come. You can believe the Word of God. God is a faithful God, and He's not a figment of our imagination. He is real. He's in you. He's for you. He's not against you. And you know what? Praise God. After that, I thought, and every time something like that happens in your life, it will give you a memorial. It'll put a memorial there. You'll be like, oh yeah. You want to mess with my left arm now? I went to get some tea. Well, see, I went around in the communities, and I mean, I've been a lot of places in 30 years. I've been in the garage door business. I've met, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people that I've been in contact with and did jobs for and blah, blah, blah. I've went in and prayed for them, prayed God for cancer too, boy. I've asked them when I get done, don't pay me right now, wait till I get done. Can I go pray for your husband? I believe cancer has to die. I believe Jesus can raise him from the dead. Oh, yes, sonny. I'm on in there. I go in there, pray God, and I asked him, I said, you believe the Lord? You believe the Lord can take care of this? He's already destroyed cancer. He took it on his body. Jesus took it. By them stripes, he was healed. He took it on him. He took it on him and whipped it and destroyed it. Oh, yeah, son, I know he can if he wants to. And I said, no. See, that's doubt. It ain't, can God bless you? It is, can you believe? See, it's not if God can. If God can work your marriage out. If God can get you in college. It's not if. Well, the way everything looks in the world, stop looking at the world. Stop looking at it. Tune it out. Don't tune into the world. Don't tune into all the garbage. Don't tune into all the open borders. Don't turn into fear. We just did a whole message on fear. Heard it today. Oh, but I feel for our generation, boy. All these evil people coming in, our generations and all of that, you know. You're hearing it. And then if you're not careful, I thought, oh, man, it's going to be down at Bluntsville. It's just a matter of time. California's a long way, man. Texas is taking them a while to get here. Well, the Bible says that the angels encamp around me if they do come to Bluntsville. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to tune into that and start getting fear and then get this flesh riled up like Will Sheridan. We don't get into the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Get it? They're not carnal. Get it? Stop thinking carnal. Stop thinking fight with your fist. Stop thinking guns. Stop thinking all of that. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now I'm giving you pure meat. The Bible told them over there in Deuteronomy and Joshua over there, the children of Israel, he told them, he said, fear not. He said, fear not. He said, and don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't. He said, for I'm with you. And God used Joshua 1:8 one time to show me, and I'm sharing my revelation. This is a revelation I've got from the Lord personally, and it wasn't to preach at that time. It wasn't for me to preach it. It was God bringing revelation to me that when I saw that, I said, God, you didn't say you'd make them prosperous. You said they would make their way prosperous. I read it again and again and again. I'm like, maybe I'm not seeing it right. You know, so I read it again and read it again. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why didn't you say you would? He said, I told them I was with them wherever they'd go. I was with them. He said, I've already purposed to bless them, already purposed to get them to Canaan land. See, we can't not come to church. See, that's like them in the wilderness. I'm not on you. We all face it. Everybody, every Christian in this building and every building that is in church right now faces that of not going to church. The enemy attacks at different times. But what does the Bible say in Isaiah 54:17? No weapons formed against you will prosper. There ain't but one person that can stop the will of God in an individual's life, and it is that individual. I mean, Satan don't even tempt me about church. Last time he tempted me, you know, was trying to test me about church, and I told him, I got up in his face, I believe it was. I stood up and I told him, I said, you son of a biscuit eater. I didn't cuss, but I nearly did. I said the word. I was mad. I said, if you ever do that to me again, I said, we'll have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He was trying to defeat me. See, you got to get up and you got to stand up against him. You got to stand up against him. You got to stand up against your flesh. That's our flesh most times don't want to go to church. That ain't got nothing to do with Satan. We don't feel good. We had a bad experience. Fight with our kids. Whatever it is, that Satan ain't got nothing to do with that. Satan is not making you feel any way. Your thoughts are. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you have to, you know, I told Satan one time, I said, if I could get my hands around your neck, I'm not scared of him. You should not be scared of him. He is defeated, stripped. All he does is suggest to you that you're going to fail. That you're not going to make it. That things ain't going to change. He suggested to you if you could leave home as teenagers. Y'all teenagers, listen to what I'm saying. If you could just leave home, you'd be free. No, you won't be free. You sure won't be free. The leaving home, unless God is releasing and all of that stuff, praise God, will only carry you into bills. Get you somewhere to live, you got to pay for it. Get you a job, you're going to have a car, you got to have insurance, you're going to have to buy clothes. Tracy's going to buy, I cut her off and buying Travis clothes when he was about 28. Huh? Shoes. He's making nearly as much money as me, she's going to get him some more. I said, don't buy him more shoes. He He can buy his own shoe. Well, he won't go buy them. Well, let him get barefoot. If you don't want to go to Walmart and check the shoes out, well, then, you know, go barefoot. That's what I think about my own son. You know. Time for him to buy his own shoes. Praise God. Well, you know what? He walks in the blessing. He's walking in the blessing of the Lord. Got the same Jesus. Look, Satan's not your problem. He is the God of this world. And he does have some authority on this planet, but not over believers. He does not have any authority over believers. He does not have any tools. He does not have any special things that he can come and use anytime he wants to on you. You can believe that and he can work. You've got to believe, yeah, but I mean, I feel the devil. Well, good. Glad you do. That shows you're spiritual. Now put him under your feet while you're feeling him. He said, the Bible says, all things was put under Jesus' feet. He's in us. He's under our feet. You got to believe that. I believe it, praise God. I tell Satan at different times. I'm telling you this. I'm not just telling you my story. I tell him at times, why don't you go ahead and try our church? Go ahead. I know what the Bible says, Satan. None of your weapons formed against the church will prosper. Like a pastor said, Pastor, you know, seeing people, I guess, leaving church or whatever, put on Facebook, you know, church is in decline. And I put on there, church ain't in decline. Made him a little upset, and that's all right, you know. I said, people are in decline. The church is strong. Leave us out of it. We're the called out, called together. We're warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for him. We can do all things through him. Nothing is impossible because we believe. Hallelujah. The church is not in decline. I'm not going to bite that bullet. Oh, yeah. Might as well shut the door. $900 water bill, light bill. People won't come to church regular like they ought to. Right? I can get in all that mully grub. Praise God. You know what I pray over you all the time? Thank you, Lord. Everybody that's connected to that church, they are strong in you and strong. And I don't go by what I see. You might not show up Wednesday night. I'm going to say, what in the world is wrong with them? They need a goose to get after them, run them, you know. I'm not going to get in all. I can't help you in that doubt and unbelief. Come on, somebody. You can't lead your family down and discouraged and out and in a wrong spirit. And you don't got time as mothers and fathers and grandparents and all. We ain't got time to waste on giving in to fear and unbelief and doubt. So our God can't move for us. God is a big God. Nothing is impossible. You know, I was thinking about Judas. I've got it. I don't know where it's at. But anyways, put that Mark 10 up there, Beth. I was thinking about Judas today. This is when Judas had this encounter. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished. Why was they astonished? They wasn't broke people. They was not broke. If they had been broke, it'd be, yeah, we didn't understand that. They were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for them that what? Trust in money. Trust in riches. He just went back up before that, and the rich young ruler told him, sell what all you have and give to the poor and then follow me. And he couldn't. The Bible says he went away sad. See, Jesus wasn't asking him to take a bow of poverty. Jesus was asking him to let him have the stuff where the stuff wouldn't have him. See, God's not got a problem with us prospering spiritually, physically, financially, you know. I mean, Satan wants you broke. I'm going to say, just sound a trumpet to you. He wants you broke. He don't want you to be able to buy somebody a car and give it to them. He don't want you to be able to buy somebody a house. He don't want you to be able to give your house to, me and Teresa give a house and land away. You know. We back under before we got saved, I would say somebody just give us a break, you know. Well, after I got saved, I said that one day, and God said, I did. I give you Jesus. I gave you a break. You don't need man to give you a break. Well, you know, it wasn't too many years down the road. We owned everything. And then we felt like we were supposed to get a house. It always looked impossible. Always felt impossible. It felt impossible because I can't make $1,000 a month payments. Everything felt impossible. So I go try to figure it out and go find something for $30,000 so I can pay $130 a month. Everything fell through. And so Teresa told me one day, she said, you know what? The problem might be that God can't get our house because you won't believe bigger than what you think you can pay. I was limiting God. So I thought, glory to God. See how important it is to hear somebody say and think. And I thought, glory to God. What am I thinking? If God can get me a $30,000 house, he's paying my bills now. I mean, he's already started taking care of us, Johnny. And so I thought, okay, glory to God. Sky's the limit, God. Whatever you want, I'm going to believe you for whatever you want in our life. I just believe I receive. See, Mark 11:24. He says, have faith. 22, have faith in God. 24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. Believe that you receive strength when you say, God, I thank you that I'm strong in you. Believe it. He commanded us to have faith. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God, you know. But the reason why a lot of folk don't continue and build that faith is because they're like Thomas here. We'll get on down to it in a minute. Anyways, he says, how hard is it for those that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them and saith, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left mother, house, brother, sister, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive what? When you put church first in priority. I'm talking about, let's get down here. Real simple. This thing is so simple that it takes Satan to get you messed up in your mind. That is why the Word of God is so important. You don't have to understand the Word. Read it. Meditate on it. When you hear something that's good to you, don't leave out of here and throw it down. I mean, take it home with you and use it, praise God. Start saying it over yourself. He said, you shall receive 100-fold now, not in heaven. Now, in this life, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecution into the world to come, eternal life. See, look, we got to be willing to not have, believe God and wait on Him. We got to just wait on Him, praise God. Put Him first. Put church first. I don't care if the world can do what they want. The world is so jacked up right now. I mean, they over there somewhere, Colorado or whatever over there, I mean, a guy goes and gets naked before a two-year-old kid. They call the law to him, and they said, well, that there's nothing we can do about it. What? Nothing you can do about it. He didn't have any clothes on. They said, well, you know, that's if he makes sexual advances. And I'm thinking, that's how jacked up this world is. I mean, that's jacked up right there, you know. That's why we got to stick with the Word of God, and we got to stand on the Word of God, and we got to believe God for His protection for our kids and our grandkids, praise God, and not live in fear. God is with us. God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us, the Bible says. You know, Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas. It don't say that in the Bible. It just says Thomas, you know. He goes and Jesus had done left. Well, Jesus appeared to the other ones and they went and they told Thomas, they said, we seen Jesus. He told him, I won't believe. Put that up there. I think it's John 20. Did you have that? Put it up there. The other disciples therefore said unto them, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas. But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side," what'd he say? "I will not." That's strong words. When people say, "Well, I know the Bible says, but," that's what they're saying. They're saying the same. That doctrine is still going today. "I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it." But Jesus went on and told them that one of the amplified versions, I looked it up, but he told Thomas, he said, "Come over here." I'm gonna paraphrase a little. "Come over here. Stick your hand right here. Stick your hand in my side." He said, "And stop not believing." He got on to Thomas. Then the very next words that he said to the disciples, he said, "Blessed are those that believe and cannot see." The word "blessed" there means they're happy. They are spiritually sound. When you believe and you can't see, you're healing. When you believe, you ain't seen your house yet. When you believe, you ain't seen your kids lining up with God yet. When you believe and you ain't seen your grandkids not lining up. When you believe. See, this kind of believing glorifies God. It gives God glory. I mean, you're giving God glory. When you say, "Yes, it looks like they're going to die, but God, you are a big God. You are a good God. You're going to turn this thing around." Praise God. You're not being a Thomas. You're not being a Thomas. You're going and then you will be spiritually sound, the Bible says in one translation. You'll be spiritually sound when you do that. You won't be all warped up in your mind. Your mind will be sound. God's give us a sound mind. He's given us a sound mind. And that mind that is carnal, that's why we take the Word of God and we renew our mind to the Word of God. We renew it to the Word of God and we say, "I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do." And then in the middle of it looking like inflation's higher and meat's higher and all that. And I remember when gas went to $5 a gallon. Man, it took me $25 to go to Arab and back in my service truck. And that's my business. I mean, I'm buying $400, $500, $600 a week gas in one truck. And I found myself more than once going down the road praising God. "Praise you, God, for this $5 a gallon. I'm not praying for it to come down, God. You're going to increase me. We're $10 a gallon. Don't bother me, glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe you're able to do abundantly above." What am I doing? I'm believing. I can't see it. But you know what? Before long, increase come to me. Now I'm like, "Glory to God, let it go up to 10. I don't care. God, he's good. He's faithful." But you got to believe before you see it. You know, I mean, you might not be where you want to be. You might feel, you can feel a plumb black backslid, but know in your heart that you're not. You love God and you don't have to go by that feeling. You know, there's times I don't feel married, but I remember the vows. Come on, somebody. There's times when I don't feel married. But I get home, find out I am. She's still there. I don't have to feel like I'm married. I made a covenant. Sometimes I don't feel like going home because she might be griping. But I go home anyhow. And I've used the word before. Endure hardship as a good soldier. Now, I've flunked it a bunch of times and got right in there, and she has, when I'm in a wrong spirit and all that, but we finally get that stuff worked out, and now we don't yield to no feeling spirit. We'll ask each other every now and then, "You feel that around here?" I'll be like, "Yeah, I feel it." She'll be like, "Yeah, I feel it too." Or I'll be like, "Yeah, I feel it too." And you know what? I want to get angry and say something. That's what he wants you to do. Just respond to the way you feel. That's what Judas was doing. "There's no way I believe without seeing." And God got on to him. The Amplified says it. It didn't say God got on to him, but he said, "Come feel in here and stop not believing." then went on and told the major part of the next part, which is the most important part, is blessed are those that believe and cannot see. Those are going to be strong. They're going to be, I mean, look, believing God causes you to be strong. I mean, it causes you to endure, hallelujah. Praise God. It causes you to go through all your emotions and all of that. Look, we think about something all the time. I can be feeling really good, listening to a good sermon, and my phone ring at work, and I'm like, great. Gosh, I wish they wouldn't call right now. I'm trying to listen to a sermon. You know, that one phone call changed. I forgot everything I got up to the phone call. I'm like, I got to go ahead and listen to that again. And now, you know, that's happened before. But now, you know what? I'm like, praise God for that phone call. Hold on this minute, Keith. Lay it over there. One overhead door. Yeah, he crashed him. We picked him. You got my money. I don't say that. Praise God. I had a revelation one time. I mean, I owned my own business, house for 30 years. And 98% of the phone calls I get in a year's time is problems. Problems. Their springs broke. And know what that, you might say, woohoo, well, you got to go fix it. I mean, you got to get up, you got to, and then when a bunch of them's called and you're pressed on every side, you're like, oh my God, which way do I go? Then you go to Proverbs 3. When you got all this pressure on you with your kids and with school and with, you know, they want to go to the Spring Valley Beach and lay out a church because they burnt. You drag them in here skint. Yes, yes, sir. That's their feelings and emotions. I guarantee you they go flop down on the couch and phones and everything else. Boy, woo, they can bear it now. We can bear it now. We ain't got to go to church. That's when you get this scripture in there in Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That is a major, major, major breakthrough scripture for any believer. Lean not to your own understanding. I don't understand the whole Bible. I know a little bit. I know just a little bit. I mean, he's a big God. I mean, I've seen it time and time again. I get a revelation out of a scripture. Praise God. Well, I'll give you an example. I kept hearing this back under after I got saved, you know, and people wasn't going to church, you know, and I'd tell them, not trying to get them to go to my church. People wouldn't drive 45 minutes. They barely wouldn't drive 5 miles. 45 minutes, that's a waste of time, man, and my gas. So they would say, well, brother, the Bible says work out your own salvation. You don't need to be going around judging people. I said, that ain't judging. Well, I didn't know what the scripture meant. And so I thought, Lord, I'm going to dig into that scripture. The Lord told me, he said, that's not what that scripture means. So I went and dug into that scripture. And I got me a Strong's Concordance out. And I come to the conclusion through my study. The Bible says for you to study. I'm trying to figure out what it means and what the scripture means. People's popping off what it means out there, so I want to go see if that's really what it means. So I go in there, and what it boiled down to was, it says, the salvation, Jesus, that's come, the Spirit that's come on the inside of you, work it out in your life. Let it work out in your life. That's way far from work out your own salvation. Don't judge me. Give me a whole perspective. And I'm like, all I got to do is let this work out. Then I thought, yeah, man, the Bible says the proof that the Spirit is in me is in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, temperance, faithfulness. See, God looks at you, and when you're faithful to believe Him and faithful to do the things that you believe is God's will in your life, God looks at that, and God promotes you. He begins to promote you. He begins to raise you. Promotion comes from the Lord. He begins to promote you. And when God promotes you, woo, yeah. Oh, yeah. I could have accomplished all that I've accomplished without God, and it would just be miserable stuff. But I look at things in my life 30 years later, and I'm like, whoo, glory to God. God is a big God. He is a good God. He is an awesome God. And Lord, I wish I would have learned to trust you a long time ago. Life just keeps getting better for me and better for you, praise God. But he told him, he said, I will not believe. That's a strong statement that Jesus put in there. I will not believe. People refuse to believe God. That's why they don't see miracles. That's why they don't see anointing. That's why they don't see grace. That's why they don't see provision come to them, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't not believe God. You don't have to understand it. It says in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct you. He'll get it to you. And you know what? Fear. Fear is all over the world right now. The spirit of fear is working. Fear of the economy. Fear of what's going to happen. Fear that Donald Trump's not going to get in. Donald Trump can't fix this world. Now, I mean, I would like to see a new administration coming out. I don't like the policies and all that. But the Bible tells me and you, praise God, to not put our trust in man. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. See, he's our help. He's the one. Even if the world is all messed up, we can have an oasis in our life. We can have the peace of God. We can have the provision of God. If God needs to come down and rain manna out of heaven, He can still do it. He's still that kind of God today. He can call. I remember a guy coming here. He had went to a church and he had never heard the kind of preaching, you know, simple Bible preaching, teaching stuff. He had never heard it, you know. And I started preaching, you know, basically about healing and Mark 11, oh, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. You got to believe you receive it. And then you'll have it. Jesus said you'll have it. So I started preaching that. Well, he went off and he started doing it, Johnny. A little bit. He started doing a little bit. He come back to church one night. He said, can I testify tonight? I said, sure, man. You can testify. He said, man, I ain't never heard this kind of preaching. It works, don't it? I said, it's in your Bible. Bible, that same Bible you've had ever since you've been a Christian. It's been in there the whole time right there. It's in your Bible. I said, yours the King James? Yeah, mine is too. I said, the same words. I said, he said, I didn't know all this was in there. Well, I told him, I said, yeah, sure, testify. He popped up back there and he said, I don't know where it come from. Somebody delivered groceries and put bags of groceries on his front porch. He don't know till today who put them groceries on his front porch. I was preaching on healing. I told him, I said, you know, you got to believe you receive it. You got to believe you receive it, and before you feel it, before you see it. I said, you know what? I said, let your medicine be your reminder to take the word. I said, the word's like medicine to all of your flesh. I said, so when you take your medicine, you just tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, that I am the healed of God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're working in line with this medicine right here. And I told him, I said, don't quit none of it. I said, that's not faith. I said, you go to the doctor. I said, don't tell the doctor what you're doing. I said, but you believe God, and you believe when you go to the doctor that you're going to get a good report every time you go. I said, you just start believing that. I said, and it'll work just like the groceries. Well, you know what? He'd come back, and every time he'd go to the doctor said, well, you don't need this no more. He'd run them tests and stuff, you know, on his blood and all that stuff, and they started taking him off of all kind of medicines. Had a family coming here that was, two of them was suicidal, signed up for disability, and had backslid on the Lord, these people had. And they started the church, and I think it was on a Tuesday night, I had healing services then. All I was doing is just teaching on healing, and they come to the altar, and I led the family back to the Lord. And it wasn't but just a few months later, I mean, they were going to the last evaluation, and they were going to commit one of them, I'm pretty sure one of them, into a ward, you know, a crazy ward. Just like that messed up. And so they surrendered their heart to the Lord, you know, the whole family. I led the whole family to the Lord. And it was about 3 months. The guy was off of all of the medicine, the downers they had him on to make him feel better, and off all of that, and off all the painkillers, and off all that, and then wanting to tithe on his food stamps. Can I tithe on food stamps, Brother Scotty? I said, sure you can. I said, sure. We had a little pantry back there then. I said, just buy $80, whatever it is, worth the groceries and put them in the pantry. I said, tithe on them. Tithe. I said, we don't really need no food stamps in the basket, but, you know, just bring, just tithe on it, pray God. Tithe on that. Next thing you know, dude, wasn't waiting on no disability no more. Dude got a job, had a job, and at one time he was making $5,000 a week. Now I'm saying that because you can't get under the anointed word and listen to the Lord in your personal life and pray and fast and seek the Lord and believe Him and things not happen in your life. I'm just telling you right now, God watches over His word to perform it. I mean, God's got things. I see change in my son that I was talking to somebody about it. I said, yeah. I said, I see a desire in my son. I said that he wants more of the anointing in his ministry, the praise team. He wants more of anointing. He wants it where people just feel the presence of the Lord while we're singing. We're, you know, greater than what we've got. Just a manifestation, and he's taking steps, you know, to in his spirit and all of that, you know. And I told him, I said, see, they said, well, it's because he's got a little age on him. I said, no, it's not got nothing to do with age. I said, the Bible says, now we got to turn to the Bible. I can't help myself. I have to turn to the Bible, you know. The Bible says, delight yourself therefore in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to Him, and He will bring it to pass. Now I told him, I said, the difference in him, I believe, I see in the last year or two, is he's delighting himself in the Lord more. I said, and this desire that's coming up in him is not him. I said, it is God. I said, it's not Travis. I said, it's not because he's got a little age on him. See, I have to go back when I was 27, Johnny, and got saved. I was delighting myself in the Lord, and it didn't take me no time to get pumped up. I mean, I'm looking for devils to cast out. I mean, I'm trying to make ministry. I want ministry so bad I'm messing up and trying to make it happen, you know. I wasn't looking for reason not to have ministry. But I had to learn to wait on the Lord and let the Lord do it. He sent me and set me down. Some of you sitting here under this and in churches all over the world, and you know you've got calls and things in your life that you don't have a clue that is there. You don't even know what God has in your future, but you're delighting yourself, and He's setting you, He's teaching you and ministering to you and giving you opportunity to be faithful. These things belong to the faithful. God's promises, God's provision, God's anointing, those that honor God. I'm not saying, He's not saying we're not, I want to honor Him more. I want to honor Him more. I know that I honor Him in some things that I purposely set out and learned how to do, you know, honoring y'all guys, honoring ministries, honoring people, and not agreeing with them and honoring them and not backlashing and talking about them and downing them and all of that. We got to learn all that. We learn all that. We get that stuff established in our hearts, and then we get established, and it makes us stronger. Then God begins to give us things into our lives, ministry and different things. He begins to bring out His desires and His will in your life. I don't want to preach without Him. I don't have a desire without Him. When I go to backing off the Lord, I don't want to come to church. We're all that way. Every one of us are, well, you have to. No, I don't have to. I do not have to. I can quit anytime I want to and go without God. I come out from under God's blessing and God's anointing. See, I have to make choices just like everybody does. I have to make a choice. I told the Lord, it was either yesterday or today, I'm going to pastor all my life, God, if that's what you want me to do. But God, I'm never going to retire from pastoring. I might get away from God's doors, and but I'm never going to take a vacation from your will in my life. I'm going to the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when Wednesday came. He didn't say Wednesday. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, he said in one place, he said, And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, grace and mercy and grace will follow me all the days of my life. See, I'm always going to be called. He didn't change his mind. See, you got callings and things in your life. You might not know what kind of influence that you're going to make on your culture, praise God. You might be sitting back thinking, that's not me. I don't want nothing to do, blah, blah, blah. Neither did none of us, praise God. But the more we went after God, the more that we couldn't help ourselves. We want to do something for God. We want to go for God. I've seen Travis, just in case somebody don't show up to unload the food, he's showing up, and I'm like, miracles happen every day. I mean, you get that boy up at 5 o'clock on Saturday? Are you serious right now? I looked over there and I thought, glory to God, hallelujah, something's happening. Something's happening in him. You know why I know? He's there. I mean, that's amazing to me that he's there. And I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I didn't know if everybody's going to be able to show up or not. And I thought, well, I told him, God sees that, son. God sees that. Now I'm teaching him, or he knows it. But I'm telling him, God sees that. God will promote you. God will reward you for that stuff. Why? Because he's doing that for you and for me. He's doing that so God's kingdom don't lack, just in case his kingdom don't lack. How many knows that's honoring God? And whether it's you, him, I'm not saying that, you know, because it's my son, praise God. But I'm very, very thankful to see what's happening in his life and in your life. We're going higher. I mean, God's going to send. They've been released a few weeks ago. The prophet released them. They from the north, the south, the east. We've been saying it. We've been believing it. We've been letting it come out of our mouth. And then God sends a prophet that don't know nothing about what we've been saying. And then he prophesied, loose them. Loose them. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. And you know what? We might not want some of them. They might have some rough edges. They might have been a Christian but don't know nothing. They might be ignorant of a lot of stuff. So God's getting you ready. He's using me as sandpaper to you. That way you get all them rough edges off of you, and then when they get here, you're like, whoop, I can deal with Scotty. I can sure put up with this bunch. You can stay there. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. See, the Word of God is the most important thing you can invest in yourself. Not money. I mean, the Word of God, preaching. I mean, all week I've been pulling up preaching while I'm working. I'm going to listen to it. Me and Teresa run to Arab today, and she got in, and I had me a preaching sermon on, you know, and so I just kind of paused it and everything. I told her, I said, I'm purposely building myself up. I'm going to see, there's no excuse for us to be empty. You can build yourself up. Your flesh might not want it, but tell your flesh, this is not me. I'm in here. I know I'm hungry. I'm hungry spiritually. I'm feeling weak in the natural, so I know I'm hungry spiritually. So I'm going to feed myself. You do that for 2 or 3 days, listening to sermons, keeping your mind off your problems and all that, keeping God magnified. Magnify him. I mean, just like you would. I mean, I used to start fires with a magnifying glass, man. I was a dangerous kid with the magnifying glass. Set everybody's house fire and everything. Praise God. Well, you know what? When I got saved, I thought, you know what? If I magnify God, he'll get bigger. He'll get bigger like that fire that brought that sun down here, and it magnified it till it set something on fire. Praise God. And I thought, I got to magnify the Lord. I'm going to magnify the Lord. God, you're bigger than this problem that I've got. God, you're going to work this problem. That's how you magnify him. And when you do that, he shows up and shows you he is your deliverer. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you tonight, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit.